All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Hi, good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, CW2 type, Vietnam, 1969, helicopter pilot. Welcome to our program today. It's really an important program because it's about benefits. This is for you, all you veterans out there. We want to make sure that if you have any questions that we've got experts in the studio, more experts than you could believe are in our studio today. And we're hopefully going to be able to answer any questions that you might have. So if you've got a pencil, write down this number, 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. Your calls can come right on in here. Derek will answer the call and let me know that you're there, and we will attempt to hopefully solve your problem or at least send you off in the right direction so that you don't get so frustrated. Before I get really into the program today, I need to obviously acknowledge the passing of John McCain. I didn't think this would be that emotional, but it really is. And John McCain, as most of you may know, was a senator from Arizona, POW for 5.5 years in the Navy, Navy pilot, shot down in Vietnam. His father and grandfather were admirals in the Navy. And when he was a prisoner of war, he was told he could go home. All he had to do was tell a little this, tell a little that. And because of who he was, they would let him go, and he wouldn't do it. They tortured him so bad he couldn't lift his shoulders above his arms above his shoulders. That is a lot of pain right there, and he's been in that pain all along. Some people say he was a maverick. I agree. I think he was, but I think he put America first, and that's what was most important. He may have been a Republican, Democrat, Independent, who cared? He didn't really care. He just did whatever he thought was right for America, and I think it is something that we need to remember as we think about John McCain, his service to the country, and unfortunately that he has gone. Probably due to an illness that maybe he picked up when he was in Vietnam. And that, of course, that story will come out much later as we go along. So I just want to let you know here that here's where it was. And I found it when I wrote out here. So we want to thank John McCain for speaking out early and clearly about the dangers posed by what's going on in the world. We want to thank you. We want to thank John McCain. We want to make sure that people understand him. He's a conservative Republican who worked in a bipartisan fashion to issues ranging from establishing relations with Vietnam to immigration reform. He was a true American hero, and he's going to be missed. By the way, we tried to get John McCain on our program back in 2006. We actually had an interview set up, but he got delayed, and so he couldn't make the conversation. But he does have in his clothing at home somewhere. He's got a Veterans Radio shirt. We know that. We gave that to him. So anyway, today's Veterans Radio program is sponsored by Legal Help for Veterans. Veterans Legal Veteran Disability Claims is all that they do. So give Legal Help for Veterans a call today. Again, with that magic pencil, that number is 800-693-4800, 800-693-4800. And we are also sponsored by American House. And this particular American House this week, this is American House in Michigan, is American House Westland Vinoy. This is located at 1660 South Vinoy Road in Westland, Michigan. The American House, they call it the bed and breakfast of senior living. And talking with the owner of this particular American House, he says that if you're a veteran, they will do everything they can to get you into their facility. They says ask about our active participation on Medicare waivers, Medicaid waivers, Section 8 housing voucher, and VA aid and attendance programs, which is something that I want to talk about today because I learned more about it over the weekend. So make sure that if you have any issues with your disability claims or you're looking for housing for someone who's a veteran, please support our sponsors. It would be great. Joining me in the studio today are all of our experts. So to my immediate right, we've got Michael Smith, who is the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Officer Executive Director. Michael, welcome back.
Thanks, Dale. It's good to be in the studio with you, as always.
As always. On my left is Jim Falzone, one of the lawyers at Legal Help for Veterans. Jim, thanks a lot.
Dale, great to be here. Wasn't planning on it, but I'll participate for a segment or so.
That's okay. We had some legal questions that were sent in by you, our listeners, and I think that's great. And sitting in the back of the room where she doesn't belong is our own veteran advocate, Carol Ann Falzone, retired Brigadier General in the United States Air Force. So she's waving at us.
We didn't give her a microphone to start. So I had said earlier that when you have Michael and Carol Ann in the room, there's no more time or space left for anybody else. So I better get my plug in early. So
that's right. That is right. Speaking of plugs, why don't we get that plug in while you're sitting there? Because we have a lot of events that are coming up.
We're glad to do that. We really appreciate the support that WAM and Veterans Radio give us. We're doing our 9th annual Veterans Health Summit this year, Legal Help for Veterans is. We've been doing this in Western Wayne County now for 9 years. This year's event will be held on September 20th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Schoolcraft College at the Vista Tech Center. Michael Smith, who's here in studio with us, will be on the panel, as will Brigadier General Carol Ann Falzone. We've got a really interesting set of folks talking. The director, James Redford of the MVAA, has agreed to come out and tell everybody what's going on in the state level, and he obviously has news to share on the veterans home that the state's going to be building in Southeast Michigan, so that's a big deal. We have the director of the Ann Arbor VA healthcare system coming out to talk to us about what's going on new in Ann Arbor. So I think that's a great speaker as well. We're going to have a disability panel, which will include a nurse practitioner out of the Detroit VA Medical Center, along with a disability panel, including my partner, Christina Darrow, and Michael Smith, and others, to talk about issues relative to increasing your disability, getting a disability, why didn't they give me a disability, all those sorts of things, where the wives get to say, but he can't hear anything I say to him. Isn't that a disability? We also are doing a panel this time on veterans health and medical cannabis. This has been scheduling this has been somewhat controversial. We've had some folks say we shouldn't be talking about this issue, but obviously it's legal in the state of Michigan, medical marijuana, and the VA is studying the whole issue of the efficacy of cannabis or marijuana to help veterans with their various ailments and how it might impact their other treatments. So that'll be the first time we've approached that topic, and we hope that it's one that they're both the younger veterans may be interested in, as well as you find out a lot of the guys 60-plus are interested in, because they're looking for any relief they can get from their various aches and pains. So the way you register is call 248-912-3223 to call in and register for that. It's a free event, but we need you to register for the September 20th Veterans Summit so that we can get a good head count and give you a free lunch and some food during the morning. So
what day is that of the week?
It is a Thursday, September 20th.
Thursday from when to when?
9 to 1 at Schoolcraft College in Livonia, Michigan. And the call-in number is 248-912-3223 to register for the event. And thanks for letting
We'll have to put a link up on our website to make sure that where people can go and find the information. I think it's another opportunity for you out there to find out what's going on with the VA, what's going on. Maybe as some of our people have responded this week to the benefits program, they want to know how do they even get their benefits started or their appeal. What do they do if they get rejected? So this is an opportunity for you to do that. Also coming up, two more things real quickly. Can't do it real quick. I have to make sure these guys will get me if I don't do it right. The VVA chapter, Charles Kettle's chapter 310 annual pig roast is coming up on Sunday, September 9th from noon to 4 p.m. That is located at the VFW Post 423 on Wagner Road in Ann Arbor. That is Sunday, September 9th, noon to 4. This is our major fundraiser. We We cook pork. We cook a pig overnight. We're all out there in the middle of the dark, all these old guys wandering around the woods again, pretending that they know what they're doing. But it always turns out well. And what we do with this is we care for our local Vietnam Veterans Memorial. We have parties for hospitalized veterans. We throw a Thanksgiving dinner out at Dawn Farms and many, many more. We were just over at the Heritage Festival here in Ypsilanti today. What a great turnout. We want to thank all of those people that came by our booth there. They were we got a lot of welcome homes in one day, more than we got in 50 years, and it was a really great sensation. And we had a raffle going over there, and we were selling material, shirts and hats and so forth. But this is the big one. So it's the annual pig roast Sunday, September 9th, noon to 4 p.m. at VFW 423 Post on South Wagner Road. Can't miss it. Head on down off of Sio Church down towards Celine. It's on your right-hand side, and it's a great thing. The ticket prices are $10 for adults, kids $5, and let's see, more information. Yeah, well, we have a Huey helicopter and all kinds of things there. Cool. Contact Don Miller. Give him a call if you can. His number is 734-864-2819, 734-864-2819, or Al Dyer at same 734. His number is 223-4544. And finally is the firing range over in Westland, their fifth annual firing line barbecue. Their mission is to raise money for veterans. That's us, for the Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund, and also for the Vietnam Memorial Garden of Westland. And they are looking for donations, and they've got all kinds of things there. I mean, if you are into guns, this is the place to go, because they have raffles that are going to be given, not given away, but if you buy tickets, you may have the opportunity to win, we got 9mm pistols. I don't know anything about guns, so I have to apologize. 38 Special Revolver, Glocks, Rugers, Buffalo Rifles, Carbine Airfire, Big BG Defense 9mm Pistol Carbine Rifle. Wow, I don't know. But this is the opportunity, so make sure that you do this. It's September 16th. That's a Sunday, and it is runs from, where's his time here? It is from, I believe it's from 12 to 4, but I'll find out, make sure I'll do that again next week. But you can go to the Firing Lines website. It is Firing Line, where did it go? FiringLineGuns.com, FiringLineGuns.com for more questions. Their phone number is 734-326-7320. And just give Don a call and tell him you heard about it on Veterans Radio, and he'll be happy to talk to you. They're looking for donations and, tactical shirts and all those types of things. I think maybe you can get a Veterans Radio shirt there. I don't know. We'll see what we can do for you. So check all those things out. They'll be on our website if you have more.
That sounds like questions. A good raffle item.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, you know what we just raffled? I forgot to tell you. Why you need to go to the pig roast. You can be a host on Veterans Radio, a co-host with me, Dale Thronberry, here on Veterans Radio, and we'll talk about anything that you want to talk about. If you want to put together a program, I just want to be a co-host, you just want to sit in the studio and gawk at us, that's fine too. But so get down to that pig roast down there, and they got a raffle going for that.
We also let you laugh at us too, so a little bit of that happens in the back
yes.
too. So
yeah, well, that's what everybody does. That's why we're all on radio instead of on television,
right?
Because it wouldn't work out quite so well. All right, well, we better get into this idea of what we're doing here. So let me find my list of questions, and I think the easiest one that we had. Was I think Carol Ann's jumping in here now to take over that set of headphones. Okay. So, as I mentioned, if you want to get in and ask us a question, please do so. Give us a call here at 734-822-1600. All right. Question number one. This was the simple one. Where did he go? This is from New Jersey. Here he is. Bill Dolan. He said, hey, Dale. Very, professional. Hey, Dale, how can I get a card that proves my experience as a veteran that helps me get discounts when I make searches purchases, especially at Home Depot? I am an ex-Air Force veteran. Michael? Well, what would you suggest?
So he's in New Jersey, yeah. Which makes it a little problematic for me to address the answer, because here in Michigan, several of our county clerk's offices will work with veterans for minimum fee or no fee to issue them a veteran's identification card. Additionally, in the state of Michigan, the Secretary of State will put a veteran's designation on your driver's license. The one that would probably be most beneficial to this particular listener is the veteran's identification card that's offered through the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Unfortunately, that program was taken 2 years to get developed. Once they launched it on the MyVA website,
MyHealthyVet.
No, it's just a different one. It deals with benefits. But nonetheless, the online application process is at this point not working.
Okay.
So at some point, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs will get that program up and running. And through the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, this is different from the health care benefits mm-hmm. card that you're issued through the hospital. This is a veterans identification card that's going to be available through the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Okay. I was just looking here that he signed it that he is a service-disabled veteran-owned business, so I'm assuming he must have some sort of VA card that he may have misplaced. But if you do misplace it, you know, most of these places, I know that with Lowe's, if you show them your card once and sign up for their program, then you're in their system and you don't have to show it to them all the time. And at Home Depot, they're very friendly. I know that because I just show them my VA card and I get it's a 10% discount, which, you know, can be substantial when you start building a house or something. Yes, ma'am.
Well, Dale, my secretary, Jim Fossone, went and Googled. And, Michael, you were right on. And it says here that the New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission has a veterans designation. And so you would go in there. It says, follow the instructions and get your card and your recognition. Yeah. So I think there's many ways to get this accomplished. But as Michael nailed it, you need to know what state – mm-hmm. And, you know, to contact the Veterans Affairs Office in that state, and they can help guide you to whatever you're trying to obtain.
Yes. The actual website that's monitored by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is called vets.gov. So that's vets.gov. And on that website, they give information about the new veterans ID card that's available and the steps you can take to register. And then at the point where they're ready to begin to issue them, at least that registration process will have taken place already.
Okay. The other thing, of course, is make sure you have your DD-214. Whatever it is, that's where it all starts. So dig into your trunk, those filing cabinets in your basement or attic, and see if you can locate that DD-214, because that's the one that gets you everything that you're entitled to. Okay. So that's that one. That's that one. Okay. This one is, this is just a comment by a gentleman named Tom Betty, actually is his name. He says, we need to be more informed as the VA moves our appeal through the various stages of examination. Thus, the VA needs to be more informative as they do this. What can be done for more transparency in this process? Either one of you here to tackle that one?
Well, I think Michael and I face that every single day. You know, we'll do the calls. You need your advocate. I would say if with this gentleman and for all veterans, go to your POA. See with your POA if they could call. We're doing that all
POA
the time.
Is what? POA is
Power
what?
Of Attorney.
Okay, thank you.
And advocate for you as to where your claim is along the system. Mm-hmm. It isn't easy. It could be 2 years, 4 years. Sometimes what we've been seeing, I got to be real honest with you, I'm bringing it up again, the mail system with exams. Several of our veterans got their notice of an exam a week after the exam was scheduled. So you need really to keep in touch with your POA. That's my best advice.
Okay, she mentioned a POA, and I think that's something maybe a lot of people don't quite understand. And Michael, I'll let you do this. When you go to see your service officer, whoever it might be, that's one of the first things they're going to ask for you, is for you to do a POA, right?
Well, part of the claims process is to complete a VA Form 21-22, which is the appointment of a veteran service organization as claimant's representative. Long title for a small form. In that form, the veteran can identify who they want to represent their claim, whether it's the American Legion, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the Disabled American Veterans, the Military Order of Purple Heart, the Marine Corps League. It's basically any one of the veteran service organizations that do the work of advocating for veterans and private lawyers. They have their own power of attorney codes that are issued by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs once they recognize them as an agent who can prepare, prosecute, and present claims on behalf of beneficiaries to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. And that in our office, we allow the veteran to select who they want to represent them, but we caution them about submittal. We have the ability to directly upload our claims through a VA program called Dimensions 360, but we can only use one of our accreditations to do that, which is the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Any one of those accreditations that I hold or cross accreditations that I hold will allow me to view that veteran's electronic folder in a system called the Veterans Benefits Management System. It is the electronic claims file for the veteran as well as their claims processing software. Appeals are not currently being stored there. Some documents are stored in the e-folder because they work appeals in a different software called VACLES, but they're moving the appeals into the VBMS system so we can see them now. Now, the person made a pretty blanket statement about the right. VA needs to be more transparent. Actually, the VA does that. They're required to by law by mailing letters to the veteran, mailing letters to the veteran or claimant's representative. And just like Carol Ann said, if they have a representative, they should engage that representative as long as they're responsive. I had a gentleman who had a service organization that he's been calling for 6 months who has not returned his calls. So he calls me. And because I'm cross-accredited with them, I can let him know that his remand came in December. Nice. His exams were uploaded and conducted in February. They sent out a supplemental rating informing him that they were going to increase one of his disabilities from 0 to 30%. He continued to call me, and I continued to monitor his claim for him. Then he called me last week on Thursday to say, I finally got a hold of my POA. And they told me that the VA did a supplemental statement of the case today. He said, I kind of find that strange that on the day that I finally get through, the VA did something. So I went into VBMS, and certainly he was right. The supplemental statement of the case was there, and I was able to read to him what it said. So access to information is important by having a representative, whether it's a lawyer or a service organization. And what's unfortunate is there are some veterans who do not have a representative for their claim. That means that they're dealing directly with the VA, and however the VA informs them is the only notifications they're going to get.
Can we go kind of transition from that to the electronic file claiming that an article was sent to me this week saying that we should encourage our veterans to utilize this electronic claim filing. And then I got another note. I know everybody's going, no, 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 no. then I got another one that said that if you do that as an appeal, you, and correct me, I know you will if I'm wrong, that you lose your effective date or your application date as a, you know, right now if I'm disabled and I file a claim electronically and it goes wrong somewhere along the line and I have to start over again, I lose my effective date of, say, I filed today. I have to go, it goes back to when I do it again. Am I confusing everybody?
Well, yeah, a little bit, Dale, because here's some things that happen. I think Michael was right on, and I was going to preface, so your question is great. If you have a POA and you are the veteran and you decide you want to file something separately, you want to put in a claim, you don't think I'm working hard enough for you or a service officer, and you decide you're going to take it upon yourself to submit something, you could be in jeopardy of effective date.
And then come to me.
Of losing your effective date if you don't respond appropriately to, say, the SOC, an SSOC, a statement of the case. So timeliness and filing is very important. But I have seen that we've had appeals, and then veterans go in and submit the same thing all over again, and the VA could misconstrue that that's a new claim. With electronic, I'm going to tell you this. I have seen more problems where the veteran will call us up hysterically and go, oh, my God, I'm looking at my record, and it says I have no appeals, and everything is closed. And we try to calm them down, and then we'll go in and call, and we'll validate that their appeals are live and they're working. So I'm not really in favor of the electronic method.
And we have to be mindful of what someone means about electronic filing. Veterans can file their claims through the e-benefits platform. And during that filing of a claim or any claim, they can select a representative. They do get that option. The other electronic filing that's available to us is, like me and other veteran service organizations in the regional office, we can submit claims with a VA software program called Dimensions 360. Now, our partners at Vetrospec, who helped the VA develop the Digits to Digits software, will allow veteran service officers that are county service officers or state service officers, as well as other veteran service organizations, submit claims electronically through Digits to Digits.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll come back. We're going to talk more about this. And so call us. Give us a call. We want to solve your benefit questions, benefit problem, maybe a little health care questions, so forth. The number is 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. Stick around after news. We're going to come back. We've got a Medal of Honor, and then we got some more questions that we're going to put to our panel here and see what we can do to solve your questions. So stick around. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We will be back. And we're back on Veterans Radio, and of course the Navy song there is for John McCain, who passed away yesterday at the age of 81. That's young, man. That is very young. In fact, I'm getting too close to that, so it makes me very nervous. But we have a caller. Today's Veterans Radio is all about benefits, so we want you to call us, and the number here is 734-822-1600. And joining us on the line right now, evidently, is Fred, who has a question. Fred, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hey, thank you, Dale. I've talked to you before privately.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So what's up?
Well, I'm a former veteran service officer in the state of Arkansas for over 14 years. And I had been doing claims. I've retired, and there's been a discrepancy between the OIF veterans who are given more benefit of the doubt, higher percentages on their disabilities, especially with Vietnam veterans when they file a claim.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, and I've talked to people at the VA in the regional office and in D.C., and they have acknowledged it.
Well, what is your question? What do you think we can do? Do we want to make we want to make them aware of this and make that we're aware of it?
Most of the people are not aware that this is being done.
Well, we'll ask our panel here. Thanks, Fred. We'll see what their experience has been.
One more thing. This is the 50th anniversary of Mickey D. Bacon, the only Medal of Honor recipient from the state of Arkansas, August 26, 1968. He received his action, and he died in 2010. I want all the listeners to remember him. He was a great American hero, and he was the Department of Arkansas director.
Okay, what was his name again?
Mickey D. Bacon.
Bacon.
You can look him up.
I will. I might even have one that we've recorded about him, so we'll make sure we can get that out there for you. All right, thank you very much, Fred. Keep in touch.
All right.
All right. Okay, so the question is that it appears that the newest veterans that are coming back are getting their claims done a little bit quicker and a little bit higher percentage. Would you like to comment on that, Michael?
Well Dale, if we could go back, let me digress on what was said earlier about electronic filing. We have to understand that no matter how you get your claim to the VA, whether it's by electronic means, you mail the claim in, or you fax it or mail it to the evidence intake center, when the VA receives your claim, that becomes your effective date for the date of, meaning the date of claim for when they're going to award benefits, if they award benefits. There are certain time frames or timelines involved with the claim that will or could potentially lose an earlier effective date. One, you don't file a request for reconsideration or a notice of disagreement within a year of a denial, or you because you have 1 year to actually appeal that decision before it's considered closed. If you do get your appeal submitted, and say, for instance, the VA does a statement of the case and they issue that to you, you have another 60 days to get in a Form 9, which is the substantive appeal. If they then issue you a supplemental statement of the case, meaning you've added additional evidence and you want the VA to consider it, then they'll issue you what's called a supplemental statement of the case, and you have another 30 days to respond to that before they can then either do a formal outright denial or certify the appeal to send it to the Board of Veterans Appeals. Mm-hmm. So you never lose an effective date because of you electronically filed. But as Carol Ann said, a lot of people will then submit a new claim and not respond to the appellate procedure. And so they could potentially lose and they're filing the same another claim for the same condition that just got denied. And filing a new claim to get the VA to look at it without dealing with the denial through the appellate process is where people could potentially lose their effective date.
All right. What about Fred's question about being a little bit more generous with their benefits this time around?
Well, first off, Fred, thank you for the call, and thank you for honoring Director Bacon. I think that's very important to honor our veterans that have gone mm-hmm. before us. And with that, I think what you're alluding to potentially could be lessons learned in OIF. What I know as serving during this period, they have recognized, our United States government and the VA have recognized the service of our Vietnam veterans. Mm-hmm. And they weren't taken care of like OIF, OEF. And what I do know is happening now is when you're coming out, our servicemen and women, you could be getting a disability rating as you're coming out the door. And then you're mm-hmm. transitioning into the VA. And that did not happen in Vietnam.
No.
And so maybe Fred is alluding to that. So it might be perceived that OEF mm-hmm. and OIF are getting more benefits. I do know that they're attempting to address all the Agent Orange issues that our Vietnam veterans have gone through. I will tell you, the majority of our claims right now are from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I think, Michael,
yes.
You're seeing that also.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as we, Dale, honor John McCain, and we were talking earlier, mm-hmm. I think if the VA takes a look at Agent Orange and glioblastomas, and if something is done as a presumptive, it will be because of John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I agree with Carol Ann. What we have with the OIF, OEF veterans is what's called the benefits delivery on discharge, where the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs and the DOD are partnering together because they know that veterans, when they separate, the DOD and all the branches of service are required to give them a separation physical. Well, what's happening is the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs is coordinating with these BDD or Benefits Delivery on Discharge sites to make those veterans' separation physicals to become their compensation and pension exams for their VA benefits.
Oh, okay.
So instead of getting out and then going to a service officer and filing a claim and then the VA scheduling you for an exam, this is all being done for these veterans at discharge. So that does cause their claims to be processed quicker. The other thing is that we're working in an electronic environment where over the last 4 or 5 years, this tail end of OIF, OEF, and OND veterans are being able to take advantage of electronic filing, e-benefits, all these different quicker methods by which the VA can process claims. The fully developed claim process is the other thing, meaning that claim that goes in, if, as long as it's got all the forms, all the medical evidence, the VA can basically, on the average day pending, I think now it's about 100, it's actually down to 98.
90, yep.
It's in the 90s, but on average, it's about 120 days. So you're looking at a claim, you know, our Vietnam veterans, our World War II veterans, our peacetime veterans in between, and Korean War veterans, they were looking at claims processing times of up to a year. So he's absolutely right in that perception, mm-hmm. but we have to understand what's going, what's causing these claims to be right. processed faster is that the VA is working at better efficiencies with the electronic systems that they have. The other thing, I think on ratings, in terms of them getting higher ratings and them getting more money, I'm actually seeing something different, and in particular with PTSD. Mm-hmm. When OIF and OEF initially was being touted in the news almost constantly for the first year or two, we wanted Americans to remember that we were at war and what these honorable men and women were doing in defense of our country. But then when our veterans were coming back and they started identifying PTSD and traumatic brain injuries as the quote-unquote signature disabilities of these conflicts, and then we started seeing the veteran suicide rate rise and getting all this what we thought was negative attention, I'm seeing veterans who were diagnosed with PTSD by other mental health professionals go to their CMP exams with the VA, and the VA diagnosing a totally different mental health disorder. Therefore, their claims get denied.
Oh, jeez.
So they're not getting service connected for their PTSD. They're getting the low ball ratings on their TBIs, where they should have an 80% rating. They're getting a 10% rating, or they're getting a 0% rating, because now the VA is making the hospital approach a veteran's claim for TBI, they're requiring a psychiatric exam at the same time. That just changed in the law. Or if they're claiming PTSD, they're making them do a neurological examination mm-hmm. as well, because they say that PTSD and TBI symptomatology mirrors each other for about 4 years or so. So they want to try to make sure which disability is the right disability to grant benefits. And this process is frustrating for our veterans who are suffering from both.
Sure.
And then the VA comes out with a 30% evaluation for PTSD and a 10% evaluation for TBI, and that PTSD evaluation should be 70, right. and that TBI should be 80. And then mm-hmm. so that's where Caroline and I go to work to appeal those bad decisions.
To get it done right. I got a couple of calls that called me on my cell phone. I guess the cell phone didn't switch it over to the local number. So I'm going to ask Frank, it looks like if you could give us a call here at Veterans Radio on the air, the number is 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. I'll pass along the number to our to Derek over there. Maybe he can give you a call in a minute. But we didn't forget you. We got through, came through my cell phone.
But, you know, just in our discussion, there was another piece of this process, the appeals process, that we've talked about and are aware of, and that's the reconsideration letter. So you get your denial, you get a Michael or a county counselor, a veteran service officer, or one of us at Legal Help for Veterans to say, how did you come up with this ruling when you've got all these medical exams? We could go back in, do a reconsideration letter, and I know Michael has done these, and it's before the NOD process, because remember, you have 1 year from that denial. And so we've used this as a really valuable tool, because sometimes the VA will come back and say, oh, wow, you're right. And then you get a rating and you get a decision. And so then I'd like to use this tool, and I don't know how often you use the reconsideration, Michael.
I use it. It is one of the best tools in our kit bag right now, because, number one, we keep that claim out of the appellate status if we can get it resolved through the request for reconsideration. I'll give you an example. A young lady, PTSD due to military sexual trauma, the intent to file on her claim went in October of 2016. We formalized the claim in April of 2017 with the medical evidence. She gets denied in September of 2017. Got her into the vet center counseling, took the CMP examination that was done by that doctor down in Detroit, got it in front of her psychiatrist who diagnosed her and treated her for 3 years. He wrote a scathing professional letter to the doctor in Detroit as to why his client did meet the diagnostic criteria for PTSD under DSM-4 and DSM-5, got the vet center counselor who had been treating her for a period of a year to write a nice two-page evaluation. I did a request for reconsideration. All the evidence for the initial claim was already done. And I did the other thing in my kit bag. I said, please do not send her back to that Detroit VA Medical Center for an examination where she got the first bad evaluation. Mm-hmm. And they used a contractor in Livonia, and she was granted 100% for her PTSD, permanent and total, going back to October of 2016 with a $65,915 retroactive payment. So that is the best tool. And had they denied her again, I still had until September to file a notice of disagreement.
Correct.
Well, this is what you guys do.
Yep.
This is why I'm bringing you on this program. I want people to be aware that there are people out there to help you. In fact, we do have a call on the line right now, and that is Frank. And Frank, welcome to Veterans Radio. What is your question?
Yes, sir. I'm a Vietnam era vet, was stationed at Camp Lejeune, and I have multiple conditions, but I have two presumptive conditions. I also see PTSD through the CBOC in Athens, Georgia. And I've been eligible to receive my benefits ever since 2015, but they won't give me a rating, so what should I do?
What should you do? Okay. I don't know. Could you understand the question? Evidently, you're receiving care at the VA, but they won't give him a claim.
So, Frank, you've been medically diagnosed with certain conditions that you know are related to your military service?
Yes, all the requirements have been met.
Okay.
Have you filed your claim for disability compensation based on the medical evidence that you've gotten from the CBOC?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And have they denied you, or is it still being processed?
Well, ever since 2015, I have been having problems. They were shifting my claim from one place to the other, BVA, region office, different places. And right now, I still don't have to file my claim in 2011. I still really don't know where my file is at.
I guess my first question, Frank, thank you for calling in, is who filed your claim? Because I hate to say this, I just had one recently where it sat on somebody's desk literally for 2 years. The other problem that our veterans don't understand sometimes is, yes, and I'm glad you're being treated by the VA, but the VA doesn't submit your request for a rating decision. They could write up everything, but they're not submitting anything through the process that Michael and I talk about. So I would really look and see, number one, the big question is, do you have your paperwork? Maybe we could talk offline and help you investigate where your claim is, because since 2015, and that was a new claim, both Michael and I are like, that's 3.5 years.
That's way too long.
That's way too long.
Yeah.
So,
Frank, where do you live?
I live in a small place called Tocoa, Georgia.
Okay.
Okay.
And who helped you actually file your claim or submit your claim for disability compensation?
The DAV down in Athens helped me file that claim the first time. And like I said, with 2011, I had filed my claim myself. And after 2017, there was a final ruling on the presumptive conditions related to Camp Lejeune and the eligibility requirement. And the DAV helped me file that.
Okay, so are you referring to the contaminated water that they found at Camp Lejeune, and you filed a claim in 2011 for those conditions?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's correct. Those claims did sit until the final rule was done last March of 2017.
Right.
Once March 2017, the VA promulgated their final rules as to which conditions they were going to service connect and which conditions they were going to treat. Trust me, there's two different lists. So you were probably getting your treatment for one of those conditions, which is about 15 of them, but then they only recognized eight of them that they were going to grant service connection, like bladder cancer, kidney cancer, liver cancer, multiple myeloma, Parkinson's, non-Hodgkin's. Okay, yours is Parkinson's?
Multiple myeloma.
And then they should have granted if you had the condition, and they should have actually backdated the claim to your – well, they can only go back to the date that the rule was promulgated.
Which is 17.
Right, which was 17. They didn't have a liberalizing law on that one, which – and sometimes when the VA changes or the Congress changes the law, they will liberalize it, which means that if the condition existed 1 year prior to their receipt of your claim, they can pay you an additional year's benefits back 1 year. But in this case, they did not liberalize the law. So the effective date for those claims was March of 2017.
So what would yes. What do you suggest that Frank do?
I think, Frank, if DAV is still representing you as your POA, you need to go back to them, ask them the status, to follow up where your claim is. That's the first thing I would do.
And if you don't have, if you don't get any satisfaction with them, call Legal Help for Veterans, and maybe they can track down and see where it might be.
Well, sometime. We'd have to make sure you can't have two POAs at the same time. But Frank, please call us. I hope you get your benefits resolved, and thank you so much for your service.
Well Frank, I hold a cross accreditation with the DAV, which means I can have access to your electronic folder. And if you just got in contact with Dale Thornberry, he can here at Veterans Radio, he can forward your information to me, and I can take a look in the VA's computing systems to see if there's any activity on your claim.
All right. So how could I get the information, Mr. Thornberry?
Well, we'll get your phone number.
We got his phone number. I just need his last name. And what else do we need?
Well, let's just get a phone number, and then confidentiality. Yep.
Frank, let us give you a call off the air when the program's over. It's only about 5 minutes from now. And then we'll get that information and see if we can help you out, okay?
Yes, sir. We sure appreciate it. And my wife, yes, I'm totally disabled from me. Like I said, I have multiple conditions, prostate, lung cancer.
Well, we'll do what we can for you. Thanks for calling the program. We greatly appreciate that.
Hey, stay cool down there in Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we will.
Thanks, right. Frank.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. This is what we do on the program. This is the purpose of it. This is a great way to tell people what we're doing on Veterans Radio. And I want to remind everybody, the last Sunday of every month is when we do these benefits. And so when you get our flyer that says send us a question, please do send your question. I think we're coming up on 5 minutes to go or a little bit less than that. Yep. All right. Where'd they go? I got a couple of more questions real quick, if I can find them. Let's see. Where did they go? I had a guy that had all kinds of problems and he wanted to list. Oh, duh. Right there in front of me. What do you know? this is from Eric. And Eric said that he had, this is a line that everybody liked. But anyway, unfortunately, he suffers from neck pain for a number of years, actually since 1970, when he fell down a hill in Vietnam. And since then, two accidents while in service. Little is mentioned in my medical record because I generally self-treated for pain. We don't self-treat, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. That's when they get us. After the pain was earlier conducted by a physician. Since then, I underwent C-spine fusion by the VA in May of 2015, but was never given any disability for it, even for the months I recuperated. My medical records reflect two MBA accidents, and my SF-93s indicate I had a fall in Vietnam. The VA refuses to consider me eligible for coverage even after they authorize surgery at the VA center in Baltimore. What do they need to open their brains?
Well, I would think, and hopefully Michael agrees, we need to take a look at his records and formalize a formal claim. It's almost like the same thing again. Get somebody to represent you, Eric, POA, and get your DD-214, get your medical records that you had the fall. Hopefully there's some treatment records there that could be obtained, and then we could start to build the claim.
She's absolutely right. There's this somewhat of a disconnect between the treatment side of the house and the claims side of the house. So there are two different administrations within the VA. There's the Veterans Benefits Administration. There's the Veterans Health Administration. They may have done the surgery on his neck as a part of his healthcare treatment, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that the doctors at the hospital are going to recognize that it was due to something that happened in military service.
Right.
But here's what that claim is going to need. Just like Carol Ann said, someone needs those records to show that something happened in service, the fall mm-hmm. down the hill, the two motor vehicle accidents. Then we need a doctor to look at those records and give an opinion that his current chronic situation that's going on with his neck was caused by those in-service occurrences. Mm-hmm. Those are the three things a claim needs: something that happened in service, something that's going on now, and a doctor needs to give an opinion that their two are related. Then the VA will grant disability compensation.
Okay.
Through the claims process. And he's got to go see a service officer
yep.
to help him get all three of those elements or make sure all those elements are there to make sure that claim is successful.
Okay, we only got a little about 2 minutes to go. I got one more email from someone. His name is Carlos, and I don't know where Carlos is from, but he says, my appeal is at the board, and it was advanced on docket. I called last Monday to know the status. The guy at the board told me that some documents needed to be translated. I asked him where they sent the documents to be translated and how much time this is going to take since my case was advanced for health reasons. He told me I had no idea where the documents were or the time that this was going to take. Anybody can help him with this situation?
Well, the one thing I would say, Carlos, is if your health is deteriorating and this needs to be expedited, I think you need to work with the POA. We just had one case, terminal cancer, and within 2 weeks, we got exams done and a decision. So you really need somebody to represent you other mm-hmm. than the veteran calling the doc with the docket.
Exactly right. Because if he's got a representative, they have their advocates at central office that can walk over to the BVA and have a discussion about why they need these documents translated as quickly as possible to honor the veteran's request to be advanced on the docket.
Okay. Well, we've done it again, folks. Thank you, Caroline Falzone, Michael Smith. Thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio. We've answered a whole bunch of questions today. This is a great show. This is what we want you to do, to contact us or contact your Veterans Service Office wherever you live. Get that program started. Find out, answer your questions that you may have, and we'll make sure that we can maybe direct you in the right direction. We're still kind of looking for what is considered the best VOA, Veterans Service Officer in your area. So the people down in Georgia and in Missouri and New Jersey that contacted us today, let us know who you think are the best in your area, and maybe we can refer people back to them. Next week is a great story about my favorite actor of all time, Jimmy Stewart. And we're going to be looking at the history of Jimmy Stewart during World War II. Many of you didn't know he was a bomber pilot.
That's right.
And his experiences there and how it affected his life and his acting career. So until next week, this is Dale Thronberry. For all of us here at Veterans Radio, you are dismissed.